I stand before you with a question. What has your heart racing and gripped with fear or anxiety these days? One has only to pick up the paper, read the news, or drive through our neighborhoods within these last few weeks to land on a myriad of answers to that question. Amen? Prior to going on vacation, I buried a 25-year-old victim of gun violence of a mass shooting at one of our city parks. Last week, I was heading home from vacation, and I found a Jeep overturned from a police car chase, a stolen car, and it was surrounded by tape, and only to learn that the suspects were five teenagers in possession of multiple weapons, including assault weapons. And weren't we all horrified to read in the news about the family in Irondequoit that were murdered and the house was set on fire to cover up a crime, to only know that there are no suspects in custody? And to add to it, within the last few days, nationally, we've had two school shootings, with one suspect, a 14-year-old boy in Georgia, and the other, a 16-year-old in Maryland. What has your heart racing and gripped with fear and anxiety these days? Is it the food prices that are rising? Is it the housing that is unaffordable? I recently went to the grocery store and I couldn't believe it. I paid $6 for a head of cabbage and $8 for a pack of turkey wings that I'd paid $4 for last year. And then on top of that, this week I received a call from two parents evicted with children, one sleeping in her car, the other in a hotel, until she could come up with the remainder of her security deposit. What has your heart racing and gripped with fear and anxiety these days? Maybe for you it's a new health diagnosis, the stress of the presidential race, the loss of a loved one, a justice system involvement. What we know is that when our hearts are racing and gripped with fear and anxiety, we need a word from God that strengthens us. Amen? We need assurance that God has not abandoned us, that somehow God will make a way out of no way, and that a new dawning is beyond the darkness and the struggles of life. And nobody knows and understands this better than Isaiah the prophet in our first reading, when he addresses the racing and the fear-gripped hearts of his people with this message. Those who lived during a time when most of the people had turned or were turning away from God, when evil and injustice was rampant, there was a small portion of people remaining faithful, but were understandably discouraged by what was going on at the time. They were mourning the exile of Babylon to Babylon. They were mourning the violence that they were experiencing and suffering. They were mourning the loss of temple and land and sovereignty. Their suffering was so evident. It was evident in the weakening of their hands and the feebleness of their knees and the fearfulness of their heart, their obscured vision, their hindering hearing, their broken down bodies, and their silent tongue. They were overwhelmed with despair and weariness, wondering like we do sometimes, where is God? We need you. So before the people completely abandoned any hope that things could get better, God sent Isaiah with these words that we need as much today as they needed during his time. Be strong, he told them. Fear not. It may not look like it, but you tell the people that I am here. I come with the hope of restorative justice and divine dealing. So just hold on. I promise that you can expect my response, and I'm working to make things right. Whatever you need, if it's restoration, repair, healing, strength, transformation, the message is that I, your God, has not abandoned you. I come to save you. And we know that at the beginning of any struggle, it rarely looks like God is going to show up, doesn't it? All we can experience is the struggle. And I realized this at the last week of my vacation, after spending some amazing time at Mike Tobin's cabin, boating and tubing and reading and relaxing, I decided to take a drive to Ithaca to be with my friend for the ribbon cutting of her Ghanaian restaurant. And the event was amazing, the ceremony was great, we did some shopping, and then we decided to head back to the cabin before it got dark. And as we were driving about 10 miles away, I heard a familiar sound that I had heard many times before. A flat tire. So as we pulled over to the side to change the tire, we discovered that the donut was also flat. And then we got the lug nut out, and we discovered that the lug wrench and the lug nuts on the car were also stripped. It looked like we would be abandoned on the side of the road. And so we got back into the car and we decided to see if we could just creep along this narrow road back. Only about 4 miles out, we realized that we wouldn't make it. So we called Mike Tobin to come and pick up the kids while Ray and I stayed with the car to call AAA. Still not quite sure what they could do for us without a tire or a way to get the tire off. But we decided to pull into a stranger's driveway to get permission to sit and wait, as it got dangerous to be sitting on the side of such a narrow road. And just as I was feeling discouraged, this couple that we had never met before treated us like we were part of the family. Even their dog came out to give us some love. And then Mike returned with a cup of coffee for Ray. And within minutes, this incredibly friendly AAA driver arrives. The car was pulled to the cabin, and I was able to call my gift son, Jermaine, to bring the two new tires that I remembered that I had at home in my garage, given that we were only an hour away. And so the plan was that he would bring those tires in the morning. Well, when he arrived, we realized that we had the same car and that his spare would fit perfectly on my car. A second surprise was that neighbors then began to come out of everywhere to help Ray solve the problem of the stripped lug nuts and to get the tire off. So while Jermaine and I were off to the store looking for supplies and tools, I got a call saying, "The lug nuts are off, the tire is changed, and you're good to go." And before long, we rode safely back to Rochester with Jermaine and the kids following me. So what did I learn? I learned the message that Isaiah gives us today that he was giving to Israel. When life places us on the side of the road with our hearts racing, gripped with fear and anxiety, we have no idea what God is working on in our midst. We could not have predicted ahead of time God's timing on what was next, and neither can you. We couldn't predict the hospitality of the couple, the friendly, efficient AAA driver, the care and loving help of neighbors, or the gift of a new spare tire to bring us safely home. So maybe you have felt like life right now has placed you on the side of the road with what you are going through. Maybe the struggles that you're facing has your heart racing, anxious, or fearful. You may feel like running from them, fighting for a new reality, or feel immobilized to the point where your struggles are stealing your voice. Maybe you don't know what to say or how to say it, or the ability to hear God speaking to you seems to be impaired. But whatever it is, we can count on God's promise to hold on to, that was spoken to many prophets. But another beautiful promise that God spoke to us that we need to hold on to in those times was through another prophet, Jeremiah, where God says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And so like the deaf man that we encounter in the gospel today that is brought to Jesus by a group of his friends who ask Jesus to lay his hands on him, because he is not only deaf, but he has lost his voice. He is unable to speak. His speech impediment prevents him from communicating to Jesus or his community without the help of his friends who plead on his behalf. So Jesus takes him off by himself, away from the crowd. I love that line. Because when life is overwhelming, sometimes we just need some time alone with God. Amen? Could you use some time away with Jesus? Imagine with me for a minute. You're sitting on a bench next to God, next to Jesus. And as you sit there, they smile at you and they ask you, "What's on your mind, child?" What would you tell them? What would you tell them? The man in this gospel gets to do just that. Jesus takes him, who must have felt like life had left him on the side of the road, but not because of his disability, but because of how he may have been treated by society because of his disability. During Jesus' time, if you had a disability, people assumed that you were cursed by God, that there was something that you or your parents did that angered God, that brought this upon you. So this passage is not an affront on disabilities, but on how societies organize and respond to them so poorly. We know that God created us with a diversity of abilities, and we know that our disabled community is a treasure. A treasured part of our human family and our spiritist family. This week, I joined a call of faith leaders hosted by Heritage Christian Home to talk about accessibility for those with disabilities within houses of worship. Our presenter focused on the disability of hearing loss. He spoke of how each person with hearing loss may experience it differently. And then he gave a statistic that 70% of the people diagnosed or who experience hearing loss go untreated, which means that they don't pursue hearing aids or cochlear implants, and they rely heavily on what happens in the worship or gathering space that they belong to. For the deaf and hard of hearing and those with disabilities, feeling a sense, he said, of belonging and having people to share that with is a fundamental right. It's also a fundamental right to have the same access to information as others when you're a part of the hard of hearing or hearing loss community, he told us. He urged us as faith leaders to be intentional about creating space for the hearing impaired to fully participate in our worship experience. And so if you are hearing impaired or you struggle with hearing loss, we want to hear from you about how much more we can do. He got me thinking, though, about all the other spaces within our parish, like religious ed classes, Bible study groups, volunteer or fundraising events. Yanina, one of our parents in the parish, is currently working on religious ed resources for kids with disabilities, and she's doing an amazing job. He spoke about how such low numbers of churches are investing in hearing induction loops, interpreters, or captioning the service, and that it was one of the reasons that he stopped going to church. Here at Spiritus, I'm so proud to say that we do have hearing loops at both church buildings. We have sign language interpreters, and we have captioning on our live stream. But we have a ways to go. And when we find our own church, Aaron and I have talked about figuring out how to do captioning in the room as well, which is what they encouraged us to do. But not only does Jesus in this gospel open up this man's ears and unmute his voice, Jesus engages in the work of community that we're all called to, the work of love, reconciliation, and restoration designed to slow down the racing and fearful heart. He returns this man to a community with a message that life may have abandoned you on the side of the road of struggle, but God has not. And so we must remember that God has not abandoned us, friends. Either when we struggle, God never abandons us. No matter what we face, God is always working in the background. And so it might seem dark right now as we look about our world, but restoration and repair and healing and strength and transformation and light is always coming. It's always lingering. Our God of hope has not abandoned us or this world. Better days are coming. Isaiah reminds Israel that God will save them. And Isaiah uses salvation in creation imagery. He tells them that desolate, dry places will be transformed into paradise. Those who live in desert environs will experience the transformational power of water, a water that washes away racing, anxious, and fearful hearts. Warren G. Harding once said, "America's present need is not heroics, but healing. Not revolution, but restoration." I love Roxanne Ziegler, who's a musician in our parish, who often plays her harp for funerals and at nursing homes, breaking through the pain and suffering of others in beautiful ways. Well, today, friends, Isaiah and Jesus remind us that we have a God who can take life crushed by pain or suffering or anxiety and make it into a harp whose music is always, always filled with praise and light. Amen.